for this month. Not a whole lot of activities going on, but the men's activity is a big one. Then, of course, next month is Thanksgiving. Looking forward to that. Amen. Revelation chapter number 2, verse number 12. Everybody there say amen.
Amen.
How many are offended at my pulpit? It's not the glass one.
I know.
The glass one was a little bit more elegant. You know, kind of made me look like Joel Osteen.
That's got a cross on it. That's pretty elegant.
You don't see the smile, brother? Okay, he's got more hair than I have. Amen. All right, Revelation chapter 2, verse 12, 13, and 14. And we'll probably just get down to 13, but we'll see how God does. Amen. Read with me verse 12 and 13 and 14. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. We're going to stop there and see where we can do. Lord, thank you for the Bible, the Word of God, Lord. And as we look at these churches that were back in the days of John the Apostle, and as we look at some of the attributes that are there, Lord, we know they represent types of Christians, and we know they represent types of churches, and help us to be able to glean a blessing from these things here, Lord, as well as they represent church ages, and help us to, Lord, understand a little bit more about ourselves, our church, and the things that John is saying to these churches here, these things that seem to be timeless. And we'll praise you and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Okay, so we are looking at the church at Pergamos now. We've already covered the church at Ephesus, the church at Smyrna, now the church at Pergamos, and we're trying to see the things that represent the Christian, the church, and the church age. And we saw some things here in the church at Pergamos. And one of the things that we said about Pergamos, it represents corruption through compromise. Corruption through compromise. That can be the corruption from the Christian or the church, but corruption through compromise. And we know that through it all, there is a faithful remnant holding out and holding on, but the majority is going on the other side and going to compromise. By the way, how much leaven leavens the whole lump? The Bible says a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Amen. It doesn't take a whole lot. Amen. And so when it comes to a local church, it doesn't take a whole lot of Christians doing wrong to ruin the church reputation and the church name and to start spreading this thing on throughout. Amen. One bad apple spoils what? It starts to affect it. I'm sure y'all have had fruit in your refrigerator or something like that. If one goes bad, it bleeds on the other one. That one goes bad, then that juice bleeds on another one, and blah, 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 and there you go. Amen. And so it is with Christians. Amen. If you rub against the wrong Christian long enough, amen, guess what? It will rub off on you. Amen. It's just a thing. Amen. Some people start even looking alike. You ever saw those couples that have been married so long, they start looking alike? Amen. Seriously. Now, I hope I start looking like my wife and she don't start looking like me. Amen. Because that would be a bad thing. Amen. But they say that's what happens. All right. We saw the reference to Christ there in verse number 12. It says, to the angel of the church in Pergamos, write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. We know that's Jesus Christ. And then we saw not just a reference to Christ, their resolve in verse 13. And we said their toil was talked about there. He says, I know thy works. Amen. Their toil was talked about. And then their turf was talked about. He says, I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And we talked about that last time. The word for seat means throne. Where Satan's throne is. And Satan can only be in one place at one time. So at one point, Satan's throne was here at Pergamos. And then we went off into the study and we asked the question, where is Satan's seat now? Amen. By the way, does Satan desire dominion and authority still? Yes. Yes, he does. Does Satan still want worship even now? Yes. By the way, if we're not worshiping God by default, who are we worshiping? There is no in between. And Satan knows that. So he will try to get you and I sidetracked not to worship God. So by default, who are we worshiping? Because if God is here and I'm worshiping God and Satan is diametrically opposed, which means behind, and if he gets me sidetracked from worshiping God, where's my back at now? To God. And who am I worshiping by default? Satan. You say, well, I got my car, I got my house, I got my family, I got this. It matters not. And Satan knows that. He just knows that if your back is turned to God, he's getting your worship. And so we know that his throne or his seat was here in Pergamos, and it's somewhere here in this world right now as we speak. What is he called in the Bible? The God of this what? World. So he has some kind of domain authority already. He's called the prince of this world three times in John's gospel. He's called the God of this world in 2 Corinthians. He's called the prince of the power of the air in Ephesians. So my thing is this. If he has his throne somewhere here, where is it? Somebody said Russia. Someone said China. Someone said America. Someone said Washington. Brother Neil said New York, but he was just joking. Amen. But guess what? I said I believe his throne is here in our nation's capital. Why? We get to publicize our music, our movies, our magazines, our media, our money. Everybody wants our money. Everybody wants what we have. And we are putting out some bad stuff. And everybody is going to be influenced. Now, why did I say that? Because we went to Revelations. We saw the Antichrist is going to come conquering with a bow, but he's got no what? He's got no arrows, no ammunition. So that means he's going to take over peaceably. And if he's going to take over peaceably, he's got to have a people that are laden with sin. Why? He's called the man of sin. And what is he going to give people? Sin. What are we promoting right now? Gay and lesbian marriages. We're promoting all kinds of foolishness and passing it as law. And the world is seeing that. And so I believe for right now, Satan's seat is in America. That is my firm belief. And I believe the Antichrist is just licking his chops saying, I can't wait until America is ripe and ready. They're getting everybody inundated with this sin. They're getting everybody inundated with their rights and everybody's right. And that whole philosophy is going around this planet because everybody wants what we have. And so when the Antichrist, and I mentioned this too, when the Antichrist comes to power, who is not going to be here? Christians. So there's going to be no Christian influence to stop him at all. Everybody will be lost, either waiting to be saved or waiting to be condemned. And so when he comes on the scene, he's going to need a people that's ripe and ready for his sin because he's called the man of sin. And I believe America is pumping out their doctrine around the world to everybody to receive it. Now, am I absolutely 100% right? No, I could be wrong. That's just my firm belief that America, because of its influence and because of its power and because of its position and how everybody wants to come to America, I believe we are setting ourselves up and we're pumping this doctrine out. So where Satan's seat is, we know that Pergamos was where his seat was at one time. Is it in America? I don't know. But I know this, not everybody was compromised and corrupted because notice what he goes on to say down there. He says, I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name. So notice now their tenacity. Holdest fast my name. Holdest fast means to use strength, to seize, to retain, to keep, or to lay hand on. Now, if I'm going to hold fast or use strength, I can't think of a better verse than Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be what? Strong in the what? In the Lord and in what? The power of his might. I cannot hold fast if I'm not strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Amen. And he gives me my ammunition. Put on what? The whole armor of God that ye may be able to what? Stand against the what? The wiles of the devil. Pergamos here is in the where Satan's seat is. And he says, thou holdest fast my name. They had some tenacity about themselves. The saints in Pergamos were faithful to hold, to cling onto the saving name of Jesus Christ, even though they were in a hostile environment. By the way, you ever went into a hostile environment? Maybe some of your family, some of your relatives, maybe some people that you, maybe somebody invited you to a gathering and you didn't know what it was going to be like. And you got there and you thought, what am I doing here? I'm like a piece of steak in a lion's den. Everybody around here wants a piece of me because I'm the only saved one here and everybody's lost. And when you go in an environment like that, guess what you got to do? Stand. You got to stand. Hey, what he's saying? He said, thou holdest fast my name. Now, whether America is where Satan's seat is or whether it's not, you and I still have to hold fast his name. And it's still a hostile environment, whether his seat is here or not. Think about it. They have kicked the Bible out of school. You can't pray in Jesus' name anywhere. Amen. You get taken to court if you try to give somebody a tract. Me and Brother Duffy was going out last Thursday, and I pulled up to a sign that says, no soliciting. No witnessing. I said, see, brother, I said, now you get to see one for yourself. Because y'all always hear me talk about those signs. It was there. No witnessing. Period. None. We went to an area out there and I put some tracks out. And somebody sent me a very nasty gram. And they said, look, yeah, it says no witnessing. I didn't knock on your door. No, I didn't reply. So y'all don't, I didn't get any argument with them. Amen. I didn't knock on their door or anything like that. But guess what? Out of the maybe 50, 60, maybe about 70 houses that we went to, guess how many replied with a nasty gram? Could the others have done it? Yes. Why did the one do it? He's got issues with God. He's got issues with a Christian. He's got issues with Christianity. He's got issues with something. Something in his past has tainted him because people are not born with a tainted spirit against God. Amen. People aren't born that way. Children are innocently born when it comes to the things of God. Amen. Now, they were still born with a sin nature. Amen. But when it comes to being affected negatively, something happened in their life to make them that way. Think of the people that you know that are against God. Something happened in their life. Whether a Christian befriended them or did something against them or a preacher did something or something happened in their life and they felt God wasn't there. People aren't born that way. He said, look, these folks are holding fast my name. They had some tenacity about themselves, even where Satan's seat was. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says this, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Amen. So prove all things. I got to test the things. But when I find that which is good, hold on to it. Is the name of Jesus good? Amen. He said, hold fast my name. He said, you're going through this time of struggle here at this church in Pergamos. He said, but you've got some tenacity about yourself. You're holding on and you're keeping down the things that you need to keep down. By the way, don't compromise the name of Jesus. Why should we not compromise the name of Jesus? You'd be surprised. Exactly. What else is there? The main reason why we shouldn't compromise the name of Jesus is over in Acts chapter 4. Let's go over there real quick. Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12. Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12. Because these folks at Pergamos, he says, you're there where Satan's seat is. He said, but you're holding fast my name. Acts 4:12. Who's got that one there? Read that one, Miss Duffy. The very name Jesus means Jehovah is salvation. The very name. By the way, there is no other name that can be given that someone can get saved by. Buddha doesn't do it. Muhammad doesn't do it. Amen. The Pope doesn't do it. I mean, you go on down the line. Constantine, as much as he tried to dub everybody Christians, he can't do it. Amen. The Dalai Lama can't do it. None of them. Joseph Smith can't do it. Mary Eddie Lee Baker can't do it. Joel Smith even can't do it. Amen. He didn't even try to do it. Amen. There is no other name that people can get saved by. Neither is there salvation. There's none of them under heaven. Get among men whereby we must be saved. Why? His very name means salvation. So he says back there in Revelations, he said, hey, he said, I know thy works. I know where thou dwellest. He said, it's where Satan's seat is. Satan's throne is there. He said, thou holdest fast my name. He said, you've got some tenacity about yourself. You're holding fast Jesus' name. You're clinging to this in hostile territory. But then notice not just their tenacity. Notice their trust of truth or their trust with truth. Notice this. And hast not what? Denied my faith. Denied means to disavow or to reject. Who's famous for that? Well, Judas did, but he never called him Lord either. Peter. Judas never called him Lord. Peter, go over to Luke 22. Because he said, thou hast not denied my faith. Amen. Luke chapter 22. And Luke 22, let's go over to verse number 54. And I give you my thoughts on this. Luke 22, verse 54. Those were first. Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were sat down together, Peter sat down among them. Now, who's he sitting down amongst? Sinners. Well, what type of sinners in particular? Jews or Gentiles? No, these are probably Roman soldiers. Probably Roman soldiers. Because the Jews, many of the Jews didn't want to go in because they said, we'd be defiled if we go in there. They're sitting amongst the Roman soldiers mostly. He says, verse 56, but a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. Was that true? That's true. And verse 57, and he what? He denied him. What's being said about Pergamos? They have not denied my faith. They have hold on to my name. Peter denied him saying, woman, I what? No, I'm not. What would make Peter do that? Fear. Fear make you do some strange things. Fear make you do some strange things. The fear of man bringeth a what? Snare. I'm afraid of what people might say if I tell them I'm a Christian. How many have had that problem? You go into your job and, well, if I tell them I'm a Christian, they might laugh at me. Well, I'd rather have them laugh at me, amen, and laugh them into heaven, amen, laugh them out of hell, amen. Hey, by the way, I got saved on Sunday. I went back on Monday. I had no church etiquette. I had no church teaching. I had no discipleship classes. I had no evangelism classes. And I went right back in. I said, let me tell you what happened to me yesterday. I got saved. I didn't know how to say it other than I got saved. I mean, I waited my turn. I was in a staff meeting and all the higher ups was there. Amen. And man, they said, Sergeant Dawson, you got anything to say? I stood up and I said, I got saved. Boy, you could have heard a pin drop. They looked at me, you got what? I said, I got saved. My Catholic boss was right next to me. He said, yeah, I'm saved too. I said, no, Ron, you're not saved like me. I got saved for real. Ooh, why did I say that? Why did I say that? I didn't know how to say it, but I knew he didn't have what I had. I knew that much. I used to go out drinking with him. He didn't have what I had. What I had was new. What I had was fresh, and I didn't know how to say it. I didn't have no etiquette. And if somebody was talking about denying, that would have been the furthest thing from my mind. But then we get educated. Then we get a little smart, we think. And we know a little bit more. Now we have to have lifestyle evangelism. Well, I don't need to say a thing. They'll see it in how I act. I'm dignified. No, you're stuck up. And that's what most people think. You just stuck up. And they don't want what you got because you like you stuck up. And I wouldn't want it either, amen. Now be honest. I'm just being honest with you. That's how we get sometimes. We go from fresh and new and telling everybody to denying it and covering it with lifestyle evangelism. Well, I'll just act like a Christian. Well, half the world tries to act like a Christian. Somebody needs to open up their mouth, amen, and live like one. What made him deny? I believe it was fear. When I went to work on Monday, I was fearless. I could care less what they said about me. They could laugh me to scorn. I was excited. I had something new. If anything, my wife and I thought that if we tell too many people, they're going to look at it like we're bragging. Remember that? Huh? We're bragging on Jesus. Amen. We said, man, well, who are we going to tell? We're like, well, we don't want to act like we're bragging. But we know we got saved. We got something good. We want everybody to know about it. And so we didn't know anything, but he denied. Notice verse 58. Now, after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. Guess what? On Monday, I'd have said, I sure am. I'm one of them. I got saved yesterday. What does that mean? I don't know. I know I ain't going to hell. I know that much. He says, and Peter said, man, I am not. You know what I said? Man, I sure am. Hey, was I perfect? No. Did I know a lot of Bible? No. I knew I was saved, though. He's not about the space of an hour. After another confidently affirmed, knows that, confidently affirmed, I know I saw you with Jesus. You can't tell me you didn't. I know you was with him. Confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. I know you was with him. Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. You know what he said? Man, what you talking about? And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. But I tell you what, if we deny, we should feel like Peter felt. Verse 61, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord and how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and what? Wept bitterly. When we figure out that we've denied the Lord in any shape, fashion, or form, we should weep bitterly. Why? Somebody needs to stand for Jesus. These folks were in Satan's seat. They were where his throne is at. And he said, hey, look, he said, you have not denied my name. You have not denied my faith. You kept this. You had some tenacity. You had this truth and you held on to this truth. You have denied. Like Peter, go back to Revelations real quick with me. Revelations, their tenacity. Thou holdest fast my name. Their trust of truth. In their tenacity, they held fast the Savior's name. Now their trust with truth was not wavered. The same encouragement was given through the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 10:23 said this, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. Hebrews 4:14 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passing the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Why? Jesus is faithful. The encouragement in the hostile place where Satan's seat was, thou hast not denied my faith, their tenacity, their test of truth. Now, here's a question. What are some of the things considered the faith? There are some things that we fundamentally hold as being called the faith. Brother Scott, Pastor White, and Brother Holmes, y'all can't answer because y'all already know. Amen. But some basic things that are in the faith that we should hold dear and we should never deny. What are some of the basic tenets of our belief that we should not deny? God's promises, but a little bit more specific about his plan for man. I'll give you the first one, the virgin birth. We believe the virgin birth. We should all believe the virgin birth. Another thing in the fundamentals of the faith, the virgin birth, the sinless life of Christ. We must believe the sinless life of Christ. That's a fundamental of the faith. He said, look, you have not denied my faith. You have stood for the virgin birth. There are a lot of people who don't believe the virgin birth. A lot of people don't believe the sinless life of Christ. How many of y'all saw the temptation of Christ, what it was called? Or he's supposed to be in love with Mary Magdalene or somebody like that? What is it?
I never watched it, but I heard about it, so I didn't watch it.
It's terrible, amen. Another one, Jesus' atoning death. Yes, ma'am. That's another one as well, the Trinity. Jesus is God and God is Jesus. That's another one.
Salvation through his shed blood.
That's another one. The Jesus' atoning death is another one, which means his death made up for us, his atoning
Amen.
Death.
Amen.
We got to believe that. His bodily resurrection is another.
Amen.
Basic tenet of the faith, because there are some religions that do not believe that he bodily rose from the grave. They think he swooned. He just passed out. Another one is his ascension to heaven. That's a fundamental of the faith. Another one is his second coming. That's a fundamental of the faith. A third one, another one is the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Those are fundamentals. So when he's saying here, thou hast not denied my faith, he's saying the faith of Jesus Christ, his sinless birth. It was a virgin birth. He died for our sins. He had atoned for us at his death. He rose again bodily. These are all things. Now, here's your homework. Can you back all of them up by the Bible? That's your homework, because we don't see to next week. Can you go to your Bible and tell somebody, this is why I believe the virgin birth? This is why I believe the sinless life of Christ. This is why I believe Jesus' atoning death.
This is why I believe his bodily resurrection. This is why I believe his ascension to heaven. This is why I believe he's coming back again the second time. This is why I believe the gospel. Can you go to your Bible and point someone to those areas? Because if you're going to sit in Satan's seat, we don't want to sit in his seat, amen. If you're going to sit, if you're going to be where Satan's seat is, that's what I'm trying to say, amen. If you're going to be where his throne is, if you can't back it up by the Bible, he will sweep you away. He's got enough emissaries out there and imps out there and people believing garbage, and they are convinced of their garbage, that he will make mincemeat out of us. This book is the only thing that we have. These people at Pergamos are sitting where Satan's seat is. And Jesus said, you know what? When it comes down to tenacity, you're holding fast my name. You know, when it comes down to test the trust with the truth, you've not denied my faith. But I've got to know what the faith is. Now, I've got to be able to back it up by saying, I know where it's at in my Bible. If you tell somebody, well, it's in there somewhere, you know what they're going to say? I'm not convinced. But if you can show them, guess what? Half the battle's done, because you've showed them God's word, not your own. And so that's your homework. Find out why you believe the virgin birth, why you believe the sinless life of Christ. The Bible should say somewhere that he was without sin. Jesus' atoning death, you should be able to find somewhere where Jesus' death made up for ours. His bodily resurrection, you should be able to find in your Bible somewhere where Jesus bodily rose from the grave and people saw him physically, touched him, or whatever the case may be. His ascension to heaven, you should have somewhere where it says Jesus went to heaven. And his second coming, you should have somewhere where he's coming back to get us. And there should be some place that the Bible calls the death, burial, and resurrection the gospel. And that's what you and I stand for when it comes to the faith, and we are not to deny it. Now, by the way, there are many areas you can find these in. And this is not all of the faith, but this is some of what we believe. And by the way, not every religion believes it, but we do. We do. And we cannot stand where Satan's seat is, and whether it's here in America or not, we cannot stand unless we believe it, hold fast to it, and hold fast to his name. That's the only reason why they were able to stand as good as they did stand. What are some things contained in the faith we hold dear and should never deny? The virgin birth, the sinless life of Christ, the atoning death, his bodily resurrection, his ascension to heaven, his coming, his second coming, the gospel, how Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the scripture. So we should be able to find those principles in the word of God. And when it comes down to it, we cannot compromise the faith that we hold dear. We cannot compromise the name that we stand for and by, and that is Jesus Christ. Did Peter do it? Yes, he did. Is he a good example of what can happen if we're not careful? Yes, he is. Do we want that to happen to us? No, we don't. No, we don't. But if you're anything like me, it's happened to me before. And I don't like to admit it, but it's happened to me before. I've cowed down and wimped down and was afraid and didn't answer like I did when I first got saved. Trying to be diplomatic. Trying to make sure you don't offend somebody. Trying to make sure you say the right thing. Well, the right thing is the gospel. I know we live in a world now that's not politically acceptant to the word Jesus. People go into cringing when they hear the name. Now, you can pray in the name of God all day long. But the minute you step down and say, well, I'm going to pray in the name of Jesus. Well, it's got to be general, God. Well, Jesus is God. And God is Jesus. And so why can't I use that? Well, some people. Well, how about the other people? How about the other people? And sometimes, like Peter, we might get afraid. And we've got to ask for a filling of God's Spirit that we can speak boldly and not wimp down. Why? Too many Christians are wimping down. That's why our nation is the way it is. And that's why I believe Satan's seat is here to oppress and depress those that would speak up, so that this nation gets even more wicked and more wicked, so the man of sin can come right in and do his business. I'm so glad I won't be here.
But guess what? There'll be a lot of people that you know and that I know and that people love will be here. And I don't wish that on anyone. Folks, let's make sure that we hold fast the name. Let's make sure we do not deny the faith. And if somebody asks us the reason of the hope that's in us, let us be able to point them to the Bible. We'll go through all these next week. But I want to make sure that you and I can hold the name and not deny the faith, because that's what we need to stand by. And that's what we stand on. Father, thank you so much for loving us. God, thank you for this church. And although they had those that did compromise, Lord, there were those that stood. And thank you that Jesus Christ could say to the church, I know thy works. I know where you dwell. And I know Satan's throne is there. But I know you're holding fast by name. And you haven't denied my faith. And Lord, help us to do the same thing. We go to work, we go to school, we go to the supermarket, when we go to activities, when we're around family, when we're around friends, Lord, help us not to deny the faith and help us to hold fast the name, because there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And Lord, those people need to be saved. The devil's going to try to make us be quiet and shut us up. Lord, help us to be like we were when we first got saved, unashamed, on fire, in love with you, hating sin, and not trying to be politically correct, but just trying to be polite and Christ-like. Thank you so much for loving us, Lord. Help us tonight as we go out of here. Go with a renewed spirit, rejuvenated heart, holding fast the name, not denying the faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Pastor White's got our announcements. Pastor White, you come. Don't forget, men, the list will be out Sunday to get signed up for the men's conference. I trust we'll all go. We normally have one of the larger groups, even with most of the big churches up there. We normally have one of the larger groups. So let's make sure we get signed up for that.